right, episode 23, Rob. It's Michael Jordan's number episode.
Yeah.
Any other famous 23s? I mean, he kind of monopolized 23, I would say.
I think he owns it.
Yeah.
I mean, he owns 23.
I'm sure there are other 23s out there, but tell about number 23. My middle child, her favorite number is 23, actually.
Why is that?
I have no idea. I have no idea, but she always put 23s.
So random.
So, yeah, shout out to you, B, for 23. So episode 23, I thought it might be interesting today to talk about that sort of wide, nebulous topic of breaking through the clutter, right? Breaking through the noise. We're in advertising. We're in design, right? How do we do stuff that, you know, convinces somebody to do something they maybe didn't want to do, right? Or buy something that they weren't ready to buy, right? I mean, we kind of joke about it here. It's the power of persuasion, right? Advertising and whatnot. So, you know, it's kind of a wide, swathy topic. Breaking through the clutter means vastly different things for different brands in terms of where they are in brand awareness, target audience, consumer base, all that kind of stuff. But any initial thoughts or anything that sort of comes to mind thinking about breaking through the clutter?
Yeah, I mean, the Kool-Aid guy was the guy, first guy who literally broke through the clutter.
Yeah. Is that still a thing? I mean, is Mr. Kool-Aid Man like breaking down walls?
I don't know. I mean, haven't seen it in quite some time.
Do they even, does Kool-Aid even advertise anymore? Do they need to advertise?
They should.
Yeah. Well, I mean, two things. We're definitely not the demo for Mr. Kool-Aid Man.
Right? No.
However, we both did have little kids.
Right.
And might have circled through that demo at some point. But I don't. But it was really more about the Capri Sun and the Juicy Juice.
Why did the Kool-Aid Man break through the wall?
I don't know. Because it was awesome. And Kool-Aid is awesome.
Yeah.
That's a great question.
That's a trivia question for the day. Is, yeah. What is the origin of the Kool-Aid Man breaking
yeah,
through?
Yeah, I don't know.
Smashing through the wall.
Off air, we need to take a look yeah. at how that happened.
So. So breaking through the clutter, though. Yeah. It is in our industry, as those who are in it know, and those who aren't, maybe it's a little bit of a lesson, but that is the phrase that pays,
yeah.
right? All clients have a drive and a want to break through the clutter. And what that means is just like Don said, how do I get noticed? How do I get noticed? So many yeah. people are advertising. There's so many commercials on TV. What's going to make yeah. mine stand out?
Yeah. We get bombarded with like 3,000 messages a right. day or something like that. Right. right.
And it means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. Some people do it with production value.
Yeah.
Some people do it with wacky ideas.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all different techniques. I was thinking about just the idea of, yeah, some do it. It's kind of an old tactic, but it's actually happening right now.
Okay.
With our friends over at Georgia Natural Gas.
Okay.
And their spots and their entire campaign is, hey, we didn't spend any money on yep. this. We wanted to save all our money and pass it along to our customers.
Yeah, their campaign is no campaign.
Right.
Right.
Right. Which is not a brand new technique.
No.
But it's, you know, the TV spot is just simple type
yeah.
with a voiceover.
Yeah.
Read by a voiceover actor talking about how they didn't hire a voiceover actor, which I think is kind of funny.
Sure.
But, hey, we didn't spend money on a you know, yeah. Production value. We passed the savings on to you.
Yeah. It's a little bit of a dig, I think, in the local market about sure. potentially a lot of the CG ads that their competitors are running,
yep.
right? And the high production value there.
Yep.
So they're the anti-production value of, hey, we're passing along the savings to mm-hmm. you know, oh, instead of hiring a fancy advertising agency to
right.
do XYZ, right? We pass our savings along to you. So it's really a financial play.
Yeah. So. And then there's, you know, the opposite, the other end of the spectrum is I was looking at previewing some Super Bowl ads and there was yeah. the one about the rock stars. Have you okay. seen this one?
I haven't previewed anything yet.
Do you want me to tell you or not?
Yeah,
tell
you can ruin it for me. It's fine.
I believe it was for that company Monday.
Okay.
Which does all the work.
Yeah, the like online Slack sort of optimized dump your email box yeah. and assign yeah. tasks and keep your team happy by overcomplicating work.
And I have noticed that they've launched a pretty widespread outdoor campaign here
yeah.
locally.
I have seen the billboards around.
Well, get ready because okay. the spot's coming,
all
and
right.
the whole spot is and turn away if you don't want me to ruin it. But no, it's all rock stars.
Okay.
Okay, and so the whole idea is. It's a play on people in the office calling people rock star.
Yeah.
Hey, you're a rock star.
Yeah, you are.
But the whole premise of the spot is it's actual rock stars yeah. upset by the fact that people are calling people, you're not a real rock star.
Sure,
and it's
sure.
got Ozzy And
anybody from Aerosmith?
I feel no, like but it's gonna... got the Paul Stanley from Kiss.
All right.
So it's all these, and you know they paid a fortune for it.
High
production value, appearance fees. Let's get all the celebrities we can. So that's another way that people try and do it, right?
Yeah.
Is with production value or whatever. As we were talking before about this idea of Dr. Pepper, and back when they advertised Dr. Pepper 10,
yes,
I think what it was. And the whole premise of the spot was it's a soft drink for dudes.
Yeah, it's manly.
It's manly. Yeah. They never called it diet soda, but it only had 10 calories in it, was the whole deal.
Yep. Dr. Pepper 10.
Yeah. Targeted at men, and they broke through the clutter, A, by just that message, like, ladies, don't even pay attention. This is not for you.
Yeah, for sure.
And then the production value of the spot, it was this over-the-top, basically every action movie cliche you can think of in 30 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, there were screeching eagles.
Yeah.
Was there an explosion or two?
Yeah, they were running through the jungle with machine guns.
Yeah, okay.
There may have been a tank.
Yeah, if you don't drink this soda, you're not a man. Basically.
You're not a man.
Yeah. Interesting.
So that to me is, hey, we're breaking through the clutter, not only with some pretty, I don't want to say risky, but some pretty edgy strategy. But then also throwing production dollars, massive production dollars on top of that to try and get noticed.
Yeah, I think of it not, I don't know that I have any specific examples that come to mind, but I definitely think about it when I see it on a brief or when I think about clients, you know, how do we break through? How do we, you know, again, there is no universal answer that you know, here's the silver bullet that will take care of everyone's problems, right? But I don't think of it as being zany just to be zany, right? It's not like, hey, we're being wacky. We're doing this over here. Well, you know, when no one else is doing this, we're going crazy. You know, I don't know that it's about doing that, or it's not. If everybody's going left, you know, you need to go all the way right. You know what I mean? Like do a full 180 of what everybody else is doing. I don't think that we counsel clients on that very frequently, right? It's really more, I think, about, you know, knowing the target audience of your clients and the consumer base and whatever the case may be, right? And finding out what appeals to them that nobody else is doing, right? And it's not about that full 180. It's more about just shifting the degree a little bit to be just a little bit left or right of center of what everybody else is doing, to stand out in the pack. Because you still have to take into account what that specific vertical or industry is doing, saying, and acting and behaving like, right?
Right.
And that's kind of how I feel about it sometimes,
right.
You know? Because if you go too far, then it's just like, oh man, you're not going to be taken seriously. You're just, you're too far, I guess. I don't know what that means, but you're too far away from trustworthiness potentially.
Right? Yeah, well, we talked a little bit about wacky for the sake of being wacky, and it, generally speaking, doesn't work.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's 100% true, but most of the time, zany for zany reasons doesn't necessarily work. But that gets me thinking about, I was reading the other day about Taco Bell.
Okay.
And specifically their breakfast strategy. So the campaign they're running now is Pete Davidson.
Okay.
And it's basically Pete Davidson coming on and saying, hey, we totally overthought breakfast.
Yeah.
And I don't even remember what I got. Shame to admit, I've never eaten Taco Bell breakfast.
No, neither have I.
Yeah. But it appears they over-engineered breakfast and came up with wacky breakfast taco ideas.
I feel like their menu might be over-engineered to begin with, though, too. Right.
Well, once they, I mean, gorditas and things.
Yeah, there's like a million things there.
Crazy things. But so they in the breakfast wars with McDonald's and everybody else, they over-engineered their breakfast.
Yeah.
And were not doing well with it. And so the most recent campaign, to your point about knowing your audience and who you're talking to, they realized, oh, people don't go to Taco Bell necessarily. They don't want an over-engineered... Taco Bell isn't the place that you're going for, like, your over-engineered breakfast.
Yeah.
Like, and it was keep it simple, stupid, and let's just do an egg.
Yeah, give me a breakfast burrito.
Give me a breakfast burrito.
Yeah, call it done, people.
And so the whole campaign is basically an apology for over-engineering breakfast and saying, hey, we've kind of righted the ship.
Yeah.
And it's been phenomenally successful.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. I love that.
Yeah. And I think he's the right talent for that.
Yeah.
Because of his voice and just popular culture and everything else.
Sure.
I think he's the right voice for that. And just an intelligent shift in strategy, doing the research and knowing your customer base.
Yeah.
They didn't want what we were offering.
Yeah.
And so now their sales are way, way up. I think it still only accounts for 6% of all of their sales. versus McDonald's. I think they said McDonald's is like 23% breakfast.
Is breakfast? Mm-hmm. Wow. Is that after they open breakfast at 24 hours, you think? Or
I don't know. That's a good question. Yeah. I don't know.
Interesting.
Bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit from McDonald's. Shout out. It's tough to beat.
One of the faves.
I will
huh?
tell you that.
Yeah, I don't eat a lot of QSR breakfast, to be quite honest. So, nor do I eat a lot of Taco Bell. I'm just going to put that out there. So, but yeah. If Taco Bell decides to sponsor us one day,
that'd be great.
I'll be eating lots of Taco Bell. I'm down with that. So, it's funny. I think, you know, we're obviously in the advertising and design business, right? And so we think, you know, 9 times out of 10, our clients have already brought us a specific task, right? Or a specific product that they've already engineered. You know, another way to think about this, you know, breaking through the clutter is definitely on the product development side, right? Isn't necessarily the advertising side. It's
right.
I always joke, I've used this example in the past, you know, we didn't know we needed 1,000 songs in our pocket until Apple told us we needed 1,000 songs in our pocket,
mm-hmm.
right? And it was like, oh, wow, how did I live without having 1,000 songs in my pocket, right? And then Apple said, hey, man, 1,000 songs is not enough. You need 10,000 songs
right.
in your pocket, right? I mean, buy another iPod, and this one's in color, and you can do 1,000, you know, 10,000. And we're like, oh, my God, I need 10,000 songs in my pocket,
right?
Then they told us, wait a minute, 10,000 songs is not enough, Rob. You need every single song ever written in the history of man ever in your pocket. And we were like, you're damn right we do. Give me that iPhone. You know what I mean?
I mean,
you know, so, you know, there is something kind of interesting from that perspective too about it's that fine line of listening to customers and consumers, but also not necessarily listening to them because they only know what they know. Like sometimes you have to tell people what they need to know, right?
Yeah, thinking about Apple, I'm trying to think. I heard somebody talking about this the other day, and I can't remember where I heard it, but it was Apple is now advertising a camera to sell a phone,
which
in and of itself is a pretty interesting idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they're not selling a phone anymore.
No.
They're selling a camera,
which is
a phone.
Again, I don't know that I have no data on this whatsoever, but I have to venture to speculate. So there's my qualifying statement,
mm-hmm.
that the vast majority of people don't use their phone time-wise in regard for actual phone calls, right? I mean, the time you interact with your smartphone, whether it's an iPhone or a Samsung or whatever the case may be, right? It has to be predominantly apps and texting and everything else but using a phone. Even taking pictures. You probably take more pictures and video on a monthly basis than you spend actually talking on your phone.
Yeah, 1,000%.
Yeah. I
mean, we both have kids.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, but we're old enough to remember AntennaGate, right? I mean, it was, oh, no. If you put your pinky here on your iPhone, you know,
right.
you block the antenna. You know, I mean, we were still thinking of mobile phones as mobile phones.
Right.
Now it's like, who cares? I mean, it's all about the apps. It's,
no.
It's all about everything else. To your point, it's, you know, I've got...
The phone is really just an app on your device.
That's actually a really good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, I've got three cameras. I mean, I'm sure somebody out there has four camera lenses on the back of their phone, you know? And Google Pixel's entire campaign right now is, hey, our photos are better than Apple photos.
Right.
And we also can fix photos taken on other people's phones.
Right.
Right.
Much to the chagrin of professional photographers everywhere.
Yeah. Well,
that's a whole nother.
It rubs true. My dad is a photographer my whole life, you know, and when mobile phones really started taking off in, I mean, God, he would just curse. Like, I hate that everybody has a camera. You know, he's like, everybody's a photographer now.
Right. Right.
Now, thankfully he was close to retiring. Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's funny, you know, it's,
I mean, people are shooting movies on iPhones.
Yeah.
Like it's crazy.
I know. Well, I mean, Apple ran an entire campaign, all about, hey, all of the ads and all the things were all shot on iPhones, right? So every billboard you saw was a picture on an iPhone, you know, taken from an iPhone, that type of thing, right? So,
well, if you think about, that's a whole other topic, but if you think about the democratization of our skill set, 100%.
Yeah.
Design software is becoming more ubiquitous.
Yeah.
You can edit things, you know, I mean, you can hit one button on your pictures and get red eyes, Photoshop this and Photoshop that. And in my world of letters, I mean, we know what's happening there. You just speak into a thing and all of a sudden you have your answer.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Anyway.
Yeah, it's an interesting thought. I mean, you know, creatives were always Adobe's bread and butter. And now they are towing that line of they're still servicing all of us, but they're also reaching out to non creative professionals and selling software direct of like, hey, you too can design a logo or do with this. Yeah. I think that might be another topic for another day, but, you know, because that's an interesting, like, hey, are you biting the hand that feeds you and where the numbers go and things like that. But, so yeah, breaking through the clutter. I mean, I think Apple's a great example of product development of breaking through the clutter, right? Now from a non-advertising perspective, but I think we've also hit some really interesting, touch points today on advertising and design and what that means, right?
Yeah. And I think, again, it's important to do to break through the clutter, but yeah. I guess if there's a lesson or a takeaway, it's make sure that you're doing it for the right reasons and make sure that you're doing it the right way.
Absolutely.
And not just doing something wacky just to be wacky.
Yeah.
All right. I think that'll wrap it up for today.
Let's do it.
All right, everybody, you can find us online, of course, at mocktheagency.com or find us on the socials at mocktheagency and drop us a line. We would love to hear from you.
Yeah, sounds good. All right, thanks.
Till next time.
Yep.
Mock the podcast.